This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm State Representative James Todd from District 29 in Kansas.
Good to have you here. We're going to get to the podcast. First, the open. This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go.
And joining James and myself this morning in the KCUR 89.3 production studio, Lisa Vagland from Prairie Village, also a member of the Mainstream Coalition, and we'll talk about that. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And the man who puts the hashtag in front of Candace Ledge, my colleague Brian. You should put that on your card.
Cards.
Yeah. My colleague Brian Lowry from the Wichita Eagle, thanks for coming over.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
All right. Well, in that case, then we will take our first trip around the table. And I will ask you, Lisa, what is on your mind for Representative Todd this morning?
Well, the Supreme Court funding case is a big one. I am a parent of two children in the Shawnee Mission school system, and I'm also a graduate of Shawnee Mission East myself. And so all week I've been thinking about those issues. Now, with the Supreme Court ruling, how is that, how is the legislature going to respond to that ruling in general to make sure schools don't close by June 30th, but also particularly in an environment that feels very hostile towards education and, frankly, towards the Supreme Court justices who made that decision?
Well, the Supreme Court in the last ruling gave, and they expressly discuss it in this and the court case that they just came down with, they gave the legislature two options. Number one, we could fund equity under the old formula for determining equity as far as it applied to capital outlay and as it applied to local option budget. Or the legislature could make a modification to how they formulate that equity portion of education formula. The legislature, in essence, took the latter, and we made a modification to how we formulated equity and how that money would be divvied up. Now the Supreme Court has ruled that that modification is inequitable, unconstitutional. I don't know that there's a great amount of guidance on what would then be constitutional other than just funding under the previous formula. But for reapplying a new or a different type of equity, I don't know that there's any certainty that the Supreme Court would rule that one equitable either, unless we just went back to the other one. It's kind of confusing as far as legal reasoning, because they say that we can make the modification, but when we make the modification, then they ruled it unconstitutional. And there's not a tremendous amount of guidance on what would be the type of modification that they would rule to be constitutional.
I want to bring Brian in on this in just a second, but let me just say that if there was too much guidance, don't you think that there would be the claim that not only that you're legislating from the bench, but you're like micromanaging super duper legislating from the bench? I mean, would that not be the charge?
I agree with you on that. And I think that that's what the court, in essence, is trying to avoid. I don't have any qualms with the court. I think that they are acting within their province.
I just want to follow up on that real quick and ask you, in a session where leadership desperately wants to get out before 90 days, certainly doesn't want to go to 113, 114. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we bid it up to last year. I forgot. Are you going to be able to get all this budget work done, work on equity, and have time to really do a deep dive and implement some of these cost savings that was in the consultant's report? That seems like an awful lot of work.
Well, I don't know if we'll get out early. I think there was a desire to try and get out really early. I've heard speculations. I'm not speaking for leadership, 75 days, 80 days, different things like that. Depending upon what your expectations were coming into this session, my expectations coming in was that we would vote on a school finance formula. We had interim committees that were looking at it. We have an education committee that's already looking at it. We have I think we've had bills and education budgets that have been introduced. That is already being worked on. And so if we vote on a new school finance formula, it's going to have an equity portion of it. So to me, that timeline personally hasn't changed. And I, again, who knows, because you have so many different people, and I, again, not speaking for leadership and what their expectations are. So for me, that's already done. And I, again, the budget, this is really early. This is the earliest I've ever been in the legislature, and we passed a budget. Oddly enough, it's the most people I've ever seen vote on the budget as well. I think in my 4 years, we've never had more than 63, and we had 68, because it does do a lot of other good things as far as putting money in, into the corrections department to try and bump up officers' salaries.
Well, I just saw an article, was it just this morning, by Weigel saying she's on the record saying she doesn't see how the equity issue is going to get solved in this particular session. Like, she's already,
She had said before session that she wanted the full 2 years of the block grant to craft the new formula. But I mean, you guys have
to do both, right? But you could do both, right? I mean, you don't have to, the Supreme Court was clear that you can solve equity any way you want as long as they're pleased with it. And if that means that you're going to put more money into the block grant for now, it seems to me that I think the Supreme Court would go with that.
To the representative's point, he's right. You know, this is my third session. I've never seen one move this quickly. It's been very intense. You almost get the sense of they're so concerned about having another long session that they want to pack it all in to, I mean, you guys voted on the budget on the 31st day. And so things are moving very quickly. I think some people like that because it means important work is getting done quickly. But I think there are also some people who want to kind of slow things down to make sure, you know, everything is getting truly vetted.
All right, let's move on to, I want to move on to judges now. It failed in the House. Didn't get two-thirds, but there is a movement to change the way we pick Supreme Court justices in Kansas. There was also a bill filed in the Senate that would expand impeachable offenses for Supreme Court judges. That happened after the Gannon case. James, I want to know where you are on how we pick justices for the Kansas Supreme Court.
Well, I carried the bill in the House. On the floor as far as changing the way that we picked our justices. I am an advocate for moving to the federal model of judicial selection. I would say my position on why I support it is largely because I think that we have a very good independent court at our federal level, and I think the people of Kansas would be very well served on that. Wasn't aware of the bill in the Senate that you just talked about as far as expanding impeachment. I don't think for me, it gets frustrating to talk with some people who want to attack the court, like we had the Gannon decision come down. I think that's the court operating within their province. I think that if you change the way that we nominate justices, it's not going to change the fact that the legislature and a court are oftentimes at odds with each other. We see it at the federal level. We see this in other states. We have it happens where there are the federal model of judicial selection, you have it where there's justices that are actively voted on in partisan and nonpartisan elections. So
you're not advocating for that, though.
No. I actually am very much against.
Because the governor has mentioned that he wants anything but this, including up to and including electing judges.
Yeah,
but you're not for that.
I am not for that. And I think that for me, it's not about whether this is a good or bad. It's about what's the more democratic way to elect judges. We are supposed to be a democratic society. This is part of the great American experiment, self-rule, and allowing the people or elected and citizens, the representative of the elected citizens, the Senate, to have more say in who becomes our judges is a worthy goal.
Lisa, your face is scrunched up. And before we move on, I'm going to give you the final word on this particular issue.
I'm very supportive of the merits election process. I wrote to oppose the bill last week, and I was pleased to see that it didn't get voted through. I think that retention elections do allow educated voters who are actively engaged in it to have their democratic say in the process.
And this is where we turn the podcast over to you, James. We let you pick the walk-off music. What is the song that is going through your head right now?
I actually was kind of aware of this, and I thought of a song that I really like. One of my favorite bands from the 60s is a band called The Kinks. And I love the song, The 20th Century Man.
State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. I'm Sam Zeff. Thanks for finding us. I'll see you around the radio.
That was an excerpt from State House Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas legislative session and the Missouri General Assembly. You can find the full podcast by subscribing to us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.